But let the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. Let them also be merry and joyful. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here on this sort of quasi-chilly morning. What? We're playing Russian roulette with the seasons? Is it winter? No. Is it spring? No. Is it summer? No. It's Colorado. There's a story told about a New York man driving through Texas. I should say up front, this is a story about suffering. But, you know, let's be honest. If you have to drive through Texas at all, there will be suffering. But in this case, the suffering was legitimate. The New Yorker collided with a truck that was pulling a horse carrier. A few months later, he tried to collect damages for his injuries, but the insurance adjuster protested. He said, "How can you now claim to be injured? The police report you filed at the scene said you weren't hurt." The man said, "Look, I was lying on the road in pain when I heard someone say the horse's leg was broken. A Texas Ranger appeared, pulled out his gun, and shot the horse. Then he came over to me and said, 'Are you okay?'" Today's second reading uses the word suffer, or suffering, a lot. We read from the first letter of Peter. It's a short book, 5 chapters, and it uses the word suffer 20 times. That's the most of any book in the New Testament. In fact, number 2 comes in way down below at 9. 9 references, and that's the much larger book of Hebrews. First letter of Peter. Do note that Peter suffered, quite possibly in a unique way. It was he who loudly and vehemently denied even knowing Jesus, just as Jesus, his best friend, had predicted. And he did this when Jesus needed him the most. At the time of crucifixion, who knows, maybe if Peter hadn't done what he did, he could have forestalled that execution. But he ran away, weeping. In fact, Scripture says he wept bitterly. And yet, look at what he became. With Paul and James, Peter became not only one of the founders of Christianity, but of the church. He became an inspiring leader. What a transformation he must have undergone. From guilt-ridden, shame-filled coward to inspiring leader. That's amazing. What a transformation. And that's just what we see on the outside, what he became. The inner transformation surely was remarkable. It is altogether possible that nothing transforms us like suffering. An American couple living in Pakistan many years ago lost their 6-month-old baby to death. When news of the loss made its way through the village, an elderly Punjabi came to offer his condolences. And he said, "A tragedy like this is like being plunged into boiling water. If you're an egg, you come out hard-boiled and dead on the inside. If you are a potato, you emerge soft and pliable and even better than before you entered the water." What comforting words. The Apostle Peter must have been a potato. Judas was an egg. Because even though he denied and betrayed Jesus, there was still forgiveness for him. Roman Catholic priest and author Richard Rohr says, "Much love means much suffering." Every parent knows that, right? Every pet owner knows that. Great love equals great suffering. We suffer when those we love are in pain. And as wretched as it is, pain teaches us things that we cannot learn by doctrine or creed. Pain teaches us that we must go down before we even know what up is. New York Times editorial writer David Brooks says this: "Suffering drags you deeper into yourself. People who endure suffering are taken beneath the routines of life and find that they are not who they believe themselves to be. The agony involved in having lost a loved one or in composing a great piece of music smashes through what we thought was the bottom floor of our personality, revealing an area below. Then it smashes through that floor, revealing another area. Then suffering gives people a more accurate sense of their own limitations, what they can control and cannot control." David Brooks. That piece about control, that's interesting. Richard Rohr defines suffering as any time you are not in control. I've never thought of it like that. Suffering is any time my ego is not in control, my ego doesn't know what's happening, and doesn't know how to manage. Illness qualifies as a time I'm not in control, perhaps not even of my own body. Many other instances of suffering, death, addiction, any loss can all fit into this definition of not being in control. If there isn't a way to find deeper meaning in suffering, to find that God is somewhere in it and can even use it for good, we will close down and shut down. That's because the ego naturally moves to protect itself. It closes down. It doesn't want to be hurt anymore. The deepest part of who we are, though, whether you call that soul or spirit or true self, doesn't need answers. It needs meaning. With meaning, we can live without becoming a hard-boiled egg. Often it is suffering itself that brings meaning to the surface. And that's true not just for the one suffering, but for the loved ones of that person, the bystanders. They suffer too. Is there more suffering today than there ever has been? Or is it just that we know about it instantaneously? Almost 24 young girls killed at an Ariana Grande concert in Manchester, England. That was Monday. 29 Christian pilgrims killed in Egypt. That was on Friday. A group of terrorists attacks and kills religious pilgrims. This is suffering of the absurd, the tragic, the nonsensical, the unjust, if we do not transform this pain in us, we will surely pass it on. And it will slowly destroy us in one way or another. That's what Peter did. After he denied Jesus, this is what happened on the inside to make him the man that we know on the outside. He transformed his pain. Better said, he allowed his pain to transform him. In a sense, he experienced his own resurrection. Isn't that interesting? It's like a concept, like this holy concept we like to reserve for once upon a time, supernatural event that happened to Jesus. That's not what resurrection is. Resurrection is God's love revealed. Resurrection is the generative power of the universe always at work. Life comes from death. Life does not stop. Death does not have the final word. Unfortunately, many things transmit death, mediate death. I think religion can be one of those things, especially when it gives us those lists of shoulds, should nots. On the issue of suffering, it sounds like this: cheer up. You display a lack of faith when you suffer. Don't you know God is in charge? That's religion. Religion cannot transform. Transformation is a spiritual process, but get this, it's a natural process too. The natural world transforms all the time. A caterpillar into a butterfly, an ugly duckling into a swan. But these changes take time and determination and trust. Have you heard how a caterpillar becomes a butterfly? It digests itself in the chrysalis. That's why it's moving. Time lapse shows that chrysalis moving in agony. But enough of the cells survive to become the eyes and wings and antennae of the beautiful adult butterfly. The spiritual process of transformation, the natural process of transformation, sounds like this. Not only should you feel pain when you suffer, it is the only way to feel. Allow the darkness, failure, relapse, death, and woundedness enough time to pass through you. Don't you know God is in charge? It is when we enter our pain that relying on God becomes a reality. Otherwise, it's, you know, kind of an abstract ideal. Union with God is an unimaginable feat. We think that it's reserved for those monks on mountaintops. Banish that thought, please. Union with God is the very beginning. It's what we're meant for. Union with God is the true goal of Christianity. We are to follow Jesus so closely that we become transformed into his image. We are meant to follow Jesus so closely that we're just naturally in union with God. This is for us all. In fact, it's for all of creation. And do not worry that suffering breaks you down. God uses broken things It takes broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread and broken bread to feed the hungry. It was the broken alabaster box that gave perfume. It is Peter, weeping bitterly, who returns to greater power and transformation than ever.